to draw your attention to a couple things before we get into the message today. It's a very important, significant message. I think it's an important, significant day in the life of our church. You'll see why here in a few moments. But there's two things I want to draw your attention to in the seat back. And one is that there's a Heart for the Kingdom booklet that's in your seat back. And that kind of is your guide to some of the ministries that we support through Heart for the Kingdom. Some of the ministries that you support through your giving to Heart for the Kingdom. And twice a year, we unapologetically highlight and feature and focus Heart for the Kingdom to help serve as an on-ramp for people that are new to the church, to understand that this is a part of who we are as a church, that we want to be a church that builds God's kingdom. And that's about existing for more than ourselves. That's about being selfless and sacrificial and generous with our resources to get the message of the gospel where it needs to be, outside the walls of the church and into our community, into our nation, and into literally the corners of the world. Wasn't that cool to see Pastor Vinay and some of his pastors that they are raising up and training up and releasing to start those businesses, to serve as a method of influence into communities that need Jesus, and also to raise resources for those church communities that are beginning there. And it really is legitimate persecution that they are under there. And so we need to be praying for them. But just know that if you've given anything to Heart for the Kingdom, you have a part in investing in those ministries and all those ministries that you will find in that booklet. And there's a second thing that I want to encourage you with, and that's there's a Rev City app, this little flyer right here. And this is something we've been announcing. We announced a year or so ago, and we've been working on behind the scenes. And I'm excited to announce to you that as of today, it is live and available to be downloaded on the iTunes Store and on the Google Play Store. And even right now, I'll give you permission, if you want to get out your phone, snap that QR code. You could download that app right now and access sermon notes, access sermon archives, access discipleship content. And beginning tomorrow, you can begin to access a daily devotional that, as a team, we are every day we're going to have produced a video devotional that has some supported content for you to apply God's truth to your life and be challenged to live it out and be challenged to and encouraged to share it with others. That every day we're going to send a daily word of encouragement into your life straight from the heart of your church family, Rev City. And I know there's a jillion places that you can get devotional content or go to read the Bible, but I just want to encourage you. I believe there's something significant and important to us just doing our part and us owning our responsibility to make disciples and to encourage people to live lives of daily devotion. And personally, I believe that there's going to be a unique and specific anointing on God speaking through these words, because we are seeking them on behalf of this church family, of what God's doing in this season in our lives. And so starting tomorrow, you can begin to receive that content. We'll dig into that a little bit more later in the message, and I'll even show you a little bit about how to receive that content in a scheduled way through push notifications. But it's an exciting day. I believe that app is also going to serve as a connectivity piece to connect us to a growing global church that we're reaching through our online community, and to the vision that God is putting before us to be a church that builds God's kingdom, including the vision to plant churches, establish campuses, and initiate and launch new ministries starting in Lawrence and going literally to any part of the world that God would lead and call us to. And so that's a little bit about what I want to encourage you with today, is bring a visionary message that kind of supports the motivation behind Heart for the Kingdom. So I am jumping kind of out, or I'm pushing pause on the Israel, Hope, and the End Time series. Pick that up in two Sundays from now with a message that I think is going to be one of the most important and interesting messages that I've brought in a long time, as we dig into what the Bible has to say prophetically about the end times and the nation of Israel and what that means for you and for me as believers. And so hope you'll mark your calendars and not miss any of the next two Sundays, as Pastor Richard is here next week, and then as I dig into that message about Bible prophecy the following Sunday. So I'm pausing that series, but I do want to borrow a scripture from that series to kind of lay the foundation for today's message. And in Genesis chapter 22, God is speaking to Abraham in verse 18, and he promises Abraham something. He says, through your descendants, through your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you've obeyed my voice. In other words, he's saying, Abram, the call, the blessing that is going to rest upon your life because you've believed me and have accounted that to you as righteousness is going to go beyond you, yourself, and I. It's going to go beyond your own family. It's going to go beyond your own sphere of influence. You are going to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. And that's what we want to be as a church. We want to ask God, Lord, would you pour out your blessing upon us, your goodness, your favor, your provision, your anointing, your resources, so that we can be a blessing. And that's what Heart for the Kingdom is all about. So we want to be a church that builds God's kingdom. And Jesus, did you know this? Jesus only used the word church twice in the New Testament, Matthew 16, Matthew 18. But he used the word kingdom 106 times in the New King James translation. And so in Matthew chapter 16, 18, he says, I tell you, you are Peter on this rock. I will build my church. The word church there is the Greek word ecclesia, and it means ones called out and called and assembled together for a sense of mission and purpose. So he says, I'm building that. I'm building the church. But watch what he says. 106 times he used the word kingdom. And that word is the Greek word basileia. And in Matthew 4, verse 17, we see one of the first instances of Jesus using this word. And it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. As Jesus was sending out his disciples in Luke chapter 9, verse 2, once again, here we see, Jesus said he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God. Turn the page, Luke chapter 10, he just kind of doubles down on this. Jesus says to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. When he's preparing the 120 who were in the upper room in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says, he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Literally the last verse of the book of Acts, and if you didn't know, it's called Acts because it's the Acts of the early believers, the Acts of the early apostles. The very last scripture, verse 31 of Acts 28, says this, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So the church is who we are, the ecclesia of God, people who are called out of our old life and called together for a sense of mission and purpose. That's what the word ecclesia means. The church is who we are. The kingdom of heaven, building the kingdom of heaven is what we do. He used the word church twice. He used the word kingdom 106 times. So at Rev City, we want to be a church that builds the kingdom. We want to make disciples that make a difference. Did you know that the kingdom of God is what God has made you a part of through the gospel of Jesus Christ? In Colossians 1, we find this promise. It's an amazing promise. In verse 12, it says, he has enabled you, he's talking to you, to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his dear son who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. So it says he's enabled you to become part of the inheritance that God has as part of his family. So you're part of the family of God, and it's not just any family, it's a royal family. Jesus did not come to build an organization or a denomination. He came to rescue sons and daughters out of our old life and bring us back into relationship with him and make us part of his kingdom family. You know, it's a royal family, and that's important. Royal families are established by blood, not by popular vote. And here's what you need to understand is that Jesus shed blood. We sang about it this morning. It's what that family has been built upon. And here's what it means is that Jesus will not be voted out. He will not be impeached. He will not be censured. He gave his life once for all, and because of his shed blood, there's a royal family that you and I are part of. And here's the extending truth. It's good news for you and I. Even on our worst days, we don't earn it or deserve it through our performance or our behavior. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We sang about that this morning. So you can't be voted out. Come on, who's grateful that on your worst day, the blood of Jesus still qualifies you to be part of the royal family of God? Come on, we could do a little bit better giving Jesus thanks for making us part of a royal family. And there are blessings, there are benefits of being a part of the kingdom of God, the royal family of God. Romans 14, 17. Watch what it says. It says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Here's the context of that. He's saying, don't get caught up in all the rules and religious regulations that used to be of utmost importance in the old covenant. He's saying, don't get caught up in all those things. Are there some things that we ought to avoid? Absolutely. Are there some ways that we ought to begin to endeavor to live, to be pleasing to God? Absolutely. But he's saying the kingdom of God that has been established is not a matter of, can I keep these rules and regulations? Can I perform to be right with God? He says, forget all that. And watch what he says. He says, rather, it is of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So righteousness, one of the first promises and benefits of being a part of the kingdom of God, the royal family of God. Righteousness is more than just good behavior. It's relational position. It's right standing with God. Well, what do you mean, Pastor T? Well, check out what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says in verse 21. It says, for he made him, speaking of Jesus, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. So Jesus actually took upon the sin. He became the sin, so he was punished for the sin that I've committed, that inevitably you've committed. Jesus became that sin so that we could so that he would receive what we deserved. And now watch this. Then it says that we, so Jesus did that for me so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness is part of the kingdom of God, and righteousness is more than just good Christian behavior. Righteousness is relational position restored with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, even on your worst day. When God sees you, he no longer sees you through your past. He no longer sees you through your sin, your shame. He sees you if you've put your faith and your trust, if you've believed in your heart, if you've confessed with your mouth, and if you're doing anything at all to endeavor to live for Jesus Christ, he sees you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, no longer through your sin, no longer through your shame, no longer through your past. Come on, if you're grateful that you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that's a pretty good place also to just pause and give the Lord some praise. Come on. Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful that it's no longer dependent upon what I can do or be or deserve. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the kingdom of God is not rules and regulations. It's righteousness, it's joy, and it's peace in the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting that perhaps there are no three things that are under greater attack in our culture today? Because remember, we just established that righteousness is identity. It's not just behavior, it's relational position with God through Christ. And by the way, man, when you begin to embrace that, that's a game changer. When that moves beyond your head and it really begins to get in your heart, when you begin to understand that you are part of the family of God, and even on your worst days, you're the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, and that's how you see, he sees you, it causes us to begin to live differently, think differently, believe differently, move differently. We begin to act like we're sons and daughters of the King. We begin to live differently. What we used to maybe kind of struggle with this or that, when you begin to see yourself for who you really are in Christ, it begins to inform and empower the life that he's invited you to live. So it's righteousness, joy, and peace. No three things, perhaps under greater levels of attack in our culture. Identity, waves of identity, confusion coming against people in every area. Insignificance, inferiority, questioning gender and sexual identity, waves of identity, confusion being introduced to people. No three things, maybe perhaps under greater attack. Righteousness, which is identity, peace and joy. Waves of anxiety, fear, worry, depression, and despair being levied at people. It's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy, rather. And joy, the Bible says in the book of Nehemiah that joy is your strength. And remember, this is what you have as part of the kingdom of God, the family of God. That joy is your strength. So in other words, when you allow the circumstances or situations of life to cause you to live without joy, you're operating in a weakened condition. And it's one of the reasons that we can begin to understand that the enemy's always looking to steal your joy. Because joy is strength. On my worst day, when I'm going through a storm, when I'm going through the valley, when I'm going through a challenge, something unforeseen, unfair, or unexpected, when I remember the joy of my salvation, I can have the strength to make it through because I've got my eyes fixed on Jesus and the eternity that he has purchased for me instead of having my eyes focused on the real temporal situation, circumstances, and problems. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you allow the enemy to steal your joy through circumstantial, temporal circumstances, you're operating in a weakened condition. But let me encourage you today, there's a joy that we can experience when we realize that That joy is different than happiness. Happiness is what the world is after, and it's fleeting and circumstantial, but there's a joy that can be found. There's an anchor for your soul that can be found when you build your life on what Jesus has done, who he is, and who you are through him. Come on today, who's grateful that we can have joy in the midst of every season if we'll keep our mind and our eyes fixed on Jesus and the work of the cross? That's another good place to just say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life, in our lives, what you're doing. So righteousness, joy, and peace, part of the kingdom inheritance we have is peace. And Jesus said in John 14, 27, remember, we've talked about there's a kingdom inheritance that we've been empowered to share, right? There's an inheritance. And what is an inheritance? An inheritance is something that someone else has come and built, accrued, or acquired, and now they've handed it off to the next generation, right? So inheritance is something that we didn't necessarily do to build, but it's being extended to us generationally. And so it says this, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. In other words, that's the connotation of inheritance. An inheritance is something that you leave for the next generation. He says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. So in other words, it's an inheritance and it's a gift. And so it's not something that we have to strive or contrive or earn or build. A gift is freely given, and an inheritance is extended and bestowed upon the next generation because of the actions of a previous generation. So Jesus is saying, there's a peace that I'm giving you as an inheritance, leaving with you as an inheritance. There's a peace that I'm giving you as a gift. Read on. Watch what he says. Verse 27, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So he acknowledges right there that there is a level of peace that the world can give you, but he says the way I'm going to give you peace is different than the world. So what's the kind of peace that we can have in the world? Well, once again, it's fleeting and it's circumstantial. In other words, it always leaves you longing for more. You always need the peace that you can find in some of the things of the world. You're always going to need another hit, another drink, another pill, or another person. And he says you could keep trying to look for peace in those places, those people, those things. But he says, there's a peace that I will give you as an inheritance and a gift that goes beyond this. It's a peace that's so deeply rooted in your heart, in the fabric of your soul, who you are, who you know you are, because of the right standing that you have with Jesus Christ. It's a deeply rooted joy. It's a deeply rooted peace. And the deeper your source of peace and joy are rooted, the harder it is for the circumstances of the world to steal them from you. Kingdom of God's not rules and regulations. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, relationship restored through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, restored to a family, and not just any family, a royal family. The peace of God that transcends your circumstances, the joy of God that is your strength. In fact, let's just say this. Sometimes it's good to just declare some things. Come on, everyone, just repeat after me. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Say, I have the peace of Jesus to guard my heart and guard my mind in Christ. So that's the kingdom of God. And that's the message that we've been entrusted with. We are the church, but building the kingdom is what we do. And so that's the vision behind Heart for the Kingdom, to kind of stretch us, to challenge us, to keep us from settling into just existing for ourselves. And to understand that God has called us to build beyond, to trust and believe, to have a vision that's big enough that it will require us to require God to show up, that will cause us to depend upon him in a way that we could only trust or only believe that God could do what we're believing for him to do. If he shows up, if he comes through. A few years ago, I was, as we were embracing this vision, kind of rebranding our missions and outreach ministry, and kind of taking it from behind the scenes. For many years, we had given 10% kind of right off the top of all your giving and just sent it out to the mission field and to local outreach. And it was good. It was good. It was good. It was more than most do. But we realized, what if the Lord kind of challenged us or called us to maybe believe beyond and believe for more? And what if we began to kind of present a vision to us as a church that you could pray into and participate in and believe in and become a part of? And what if it would cause us to not just do 10%, but what if eventually we were doing even more than maybe what we're giving locally, we're sending it out to build the kingdom and establish churches and establish ministries and missions? And so in that season, I was seeking the Lord for vision to bring back to our eldership and to kind of be confirmed through prayer and then present to us as a church family. That's how it works. And I was in Texas back visiting home, family. It was around Thanksgiving. And it was in that season where I was seeking the Lord, and I was kind of up during the middle of the night, just kind of restless and just kind of working in my sleep. And I just thought, you know, I'm just going to get up. And I went to my parents' living room, turned on a lamp, got up my Bible. It's in the middle of the night. Everyone was sleeping, just the quiet. You know, there's just a quietness and a stillness in a house in the middle of the night. You know, you can probably kind of imagine that in your mind's eye. And I'm reading the Bible, and I'm reading it. It's good, but not any big revelation. And then I had a moment with God. I know it was a God encounter. Because it wasn't something I was thinking or seeking or kind of hoping that God would lead me to. And it was different. It was unique. And it was interesting. And I felt the Lord challenge me to kind of get up my phone. And I felt him prompt me, I want you to search the population of your region. And I thought, all right, God, what are you up to here? And I got up my phone. And it was really cool because the very first website that I pulled up on Safari on my phone, and I checked last night, and interestingly enough, it's still the very first one that shows up on your phone if you have the same settings or search engine or whatever that I have. It's the very same one that I used several years ago. It's still there at the top of the search. And it's the perfect website to do what I believe God was calling me to do. And I just felt, you know, when the Lord was speaking to me here, it wasn't an audible voice. It was just an impression in my spirit that I was trying to be obedient to. And that's many times the way God will speak to you. And so I just felt him impress upon my spirit to search the population density starting with Lawrence and then kind of expanding beyond. And I started with kind of the tightest parameters of Lawrence that I could. I think it was 108,000. And I went a little bit further out. I think it went to like 140,000. And then I went out to our entire region, west of Topeka, up north to like St. Joe, down kind of to the east and southeast part of the Kansas City metro, back kind of along the south end of the region, kind of south of Ottawa, and then back up to west of Topeka, and it jumped to 2.7 something million. And immediately, not 10 seconds later, immediately when I saw that number kind of populated on my screen right there, I felt the Holy Spirit kind of chastise me and convict me all in one moment where he said, the apostles of the New Testament would have seen your assignment differently than you have. I'm calling you to have a vision for Lawrence, Topeka, Kansas City, and the world. And I was reminded immediately in that moment of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, you will receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. In other words, your town, your region, your nation, and your world. And I said, all right, God, that's good enough for me. And so we've been carrying this vision, and we've shared that with you before. But in this season, in our eldership, we've begun to sense the Holy Spirit say, now is the time to begin to seek me, to begin to articulate, to begin to document, to begin to define, as Habakkuk said, when he said, write down the vision and make it plain so that the reader may read it and begin to run with it. That now is the timing of God to begin to say, all right, God, what does that look like for us? What are some strategic goals that we can begin to have that cause us to have to pray, that cause us to desperately depend on you, that will require us to require you to show up? And as I entered into this, I was reminded of what I shared with you recently, that if your dream for your life, and by dream I mean your vision, your sense of mission, your sense of calling, your sense of purpose, if it doesn't scare you a little, it's probably too little. And I've been challenging us to ask yourself, does the vision, the mission, the sense of calling and purpose that you have for your life, does it require faith? Does it require God to show up, or is it something you can do in your strength with your gifting and your ability, your education, your training? And so I felt the Lord challenge me that the same should be true for us, right? If it's good for the geese, it's good for the gander, right? Here's the thing that I've asked God is, I've said, God, I do not want to do this artificially, arbitrarily, or forcefully. I want you to speak. I want you to lead. And then we want you to show up, you to provide, for you to bring confirmation about the timing and the methodology for us to do these things. So he challenged me to believe that there would be a vision that we would have for Lawrence, Topeka, Kansas City, and the world. So Jerusalem is our home base right here. And in this season, there's some things in this next year that we're believing God for us to do and to strengthen and to improve. And some of those things we're unapologetically asking you to pray and obey about, being generously supportive of these things. Several times this fall, we've had a capacity. We've been at full capacity in our parking lot. People have had to drive through our parking lot. Many have driven off, and we need to expand our parking lot. And we have those engineered drawings in place. We're beginning to get the bids for those things, but there's kind of a projected expense that's on the little flyer that's in your seat back right there. And here's the thing I want to encourage you with is that this is not about parking. It's about people. And every spot represents a person, a university student who's looking for hope and significance in life and can only find it in Christ Jesus, a marriage that's on the rocks that can be healed and restored and made new and made vibrant once again if they encounter the Lord Jesus, a family who's kind of shaking that needs to have the truth of God's word to be built, to be building their marriage, their family, and their future on the firm foundation that is God's word. It is not about parking. It's about people. And so I want to thank you in advance for praying and obeying and being generous to help us to expand that parking so that we can reach and welcome more people. We've expanded our youth staffing. I want to encourage you that that's part of what we're doing in this season is really focusing on that next generation that is under those attacks of identity confusion and waves of depression and despair and insignificance. We're improving our facilities out here. We're adding lighting to our sports court. We're improving the fencing around our playground area. We've built a studio set back here in the media room. I encourage you sometime walk down that hall, kind of back towards the west right there, and just kind of rap on that door and take a look in there and see all that's going on back there that you are, is behind the scenes that's helping us to reach people literally all around the world. So those are some things that we're doing short term here locally in what's our Jerusalem. But in the next 3 to 5 years, I believe that the Lord is calling us. And this is going to require us to require God to show up. And I'm not naive or idealistic about what it's going to take to accomplish these things. But I believe that it's possible. And how many of you know we ought to have a big vision because we serve a big God? We serve a big God. And how many of you know more than ever, people need the Lord. And they need the hope that is found on the other side of an encounter with God. He's entrusted that to us. And so in the next 3 to 5 years, I believe that the Lord will call us in faith and in unity, but in his timing, in his way, to establish church locations and campuses in Kansas City and Topeka. Lawrence, Topeka, Kansas City. And there's 2.7 million people. I don't know how many of them are believers, but even if there's just one that still needs Jesus, we ought to have an aggressive faith to go and be the ones and not defer or abdicate or trust that someone is going to go tell them about Jesus. Generally, what happens is somebody thought anybody was going to do it, so nobody does it. And how about you and me? We say we'll be the ones. Why not us? Why not us? Why not us? And it's going to require God to show up. Yeah, it's going to challenge us. It's going to cause us to have to live differently, think differently, give differently, serve differently. But we ought to have a big vision because we serve a big God. We want to be a church that builds God's kingdom. Here's some things that I want to encourage us with that are going to be required of us. We're going to have to embrace both grace and growth. We're going to have to remain outward focused. We're going to have to value discipleship and evangelism together. And I want to thank you. This is a moment where I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you have not allowed the moment that we have at the end of every service, every message. It doesn't matter what I'm preaching about, marriage or money or the end times. At the end of every service at Rev City Church, it's part of our culture and part of our values to give people the opportunity to say yes to Jesus and receive the free gift of salvation. And at the end of every service, you know what we do. We pray that prayer together with them. And I could see some people that kind of growing old on them or saying, really, we're going to pray this prayer again? I prayed it 100 times. I don't know about you, but I'm just grateful that I get saved twice a week, every week. And there's some weeks I needed it. And let's not allow that moment to grow mundane or old or routine for us. Lives are hanging in the balance. Eternity's in the balance. Last week in the 9 o'clock service, I felt like I just struggled to preach effectively. And you guys, 11 o'clock, I felt like it went a little better. You're welcome. Good choice. Good choice. But I felt like I struggled a little bit. You know, I mean, sometimes there's just a flow that I'm in. I can just sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And in 9 o'clock service last week, I just felt like I was just kind of like dragging a bag of rocks uphill as I was preaching. And at the end of it, here's what I'm telling you. At the end of it, I was kind of like challenged in my spirit. I was a little bit fearful. Do I really want to give that altar call? Because surely after this dog of a sermon, there's not one person who's ready to say yes to Jesus. But it's a cultural value and a commitment that we have. It doesn't matter how I feel about the message or what I'm preaching on. And I gave that altar call. And in spite of the fact that I hadn't preached the best message, the most anointed message, the message that flowed out the smoothest and the most effectively, 7 precious people lifted their hands as an outward sign of an inward work that God is renewing their life. And I said, "Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Come on." And it reminded me, I think God allows for those kind of things to happen because he just is reminding you that it's not about you. And by that, I mean me in that moment. for you, there's another situation where he'll just remind you it's not about you. If you'll just be faithful, most of what he's going to do in my life, your life, and in our lives together collectively as a church family is going to be in spite of us. Right? We can't afford, let's just decide in advance when we have expanded influence and outreach and reaching numbers of people in Kansas City and Topeka and all around the world, can we just predetermine that we'll be slow to take too much credit for it? That it'll only be because God showed up. We got a part to play. Don't diminish the part that we have to play. We got to pray. We got to be in unity. We got to make sure that the gospel stays the central focus of our gatherings and our fellowship and our family. We're going to have to serve. We're going to have to go. We're going to have to give. We're going to have to do those things maybe a little bit differently than we would have to if we were complacent to just kind of do church for ourselves. But he's calling us to be a church that builds the kingdom. Every week we see on average over 11 people give their lives to Christ. That number is actually increasing in recent weeks as we've had some pretty significant numbers relative to the size of our church in this season. Last year, we had over 1,000 people through our online experience, through our in-person experience, through our vacation Bible school, through our youth camps and retreats, over 1,000 documented decisions for the Lord Jesus Christ last year alone. Come on, we ought to thank the Lord for that. So with the faith that's brought by that reality, I'm believing God and I'm asking you to pray with me that in the next 3 years, we would see 5,000 decisions for Christ. That in the next 10 years, we would see 20,000 commitments for Christ Jesus. Again, through an expanding network of churches, through expanding influence in Kansas City and Topeka and all around the world, in India and in our online church community. And in the next 20 years, I'll be 65 when that happens. That in the next 20 years, we would see and believe and trust that God would show up and move mightily in us and through our influence as a church, that in the next 20 years, we would see 100,000 decisions for Christ through us, through our ministry, through our messages, through our influence. You know how that's going to happen? One person at a time. The pathway to a big vision in your life, for us as a church, the pathway to that big vision is always daily decision. The pathway to that big number of people coming to Christ, coming to faith in Christ, putting their trust in Christ is always going to be one person, one marriage, one family, one opportunity at a time. And I encourage us to dream big and start small. And there's a big dream that I'm about to share with you, but the start small is a couple years ago, we reached out to the state prison system and we said, hey, this is part of our mandate as Christians to go and preach the gospel to people who are in prison. How could we be a blessing? And they actually got back to us and they said, you know what you could do? You could come help us in the Kansas Juvenile Correctional Complex, which exists less than 30 minutes from here. In fact, I looked at it this morning. It's 27 minutes from here if you're driving from this church facility. And that facility on the north side of Topeka houses every child and teenage offender who's committed a serious crime in anywhere in the state of Kansas. They bus them in. They bus them in. And the numbers fluctuate. I think sometimes there's as many as maybe almost 200. They're kids. And I've been over to that facility as we were touring it and beginning to build a relationship with them as we were preparing to renovate their facility there that they call their spiritual life center to just make it more attractive and appealing for these young people to come in and hear the message of the gospel. I've been in that facility, and I'm telling you, it is not a jail. It is not kid jail. It's full-blown jail. It's steel and concrete, steel bars and concrete floors for kids. And so we went in there and we renovated completely, new carpet, new paint, new technology, new audio visual systems so that we could do a more effective job and maybe make it a little bit more approachable and attractive to those kids to come and hear that they might have made a mistake, but they are not a mistake. To come and hear that they might not have had a father figure in their life to raise them up, to know God, but they have a heavenly Father that still loves them and sent Jesus to die for them, to forgive them and give them a hope for a future in spite of what they've been through. And we're sending teams twice a month over there to tell them that, to share that message with them. And maybe you want to come and be a part of that team. Come on, you holler at us. We'll put you in touch with the training materials and get you trained up and ready to go as part of that team. But that's our start small, but dream big. And here's what I'm believing in my heart. Here's what we're just asking. We're just holding this before the Lord. We can't do this in our own strength. We can't manufacture this. But I'm asking the Lord, because of our faithfulness, your faithfulness, to give those resources that were required to renovate that facility, to become part of those teams that are going in there to minister to those precious kids. That because God sees that we've been faithful with little, that he'll release to us much. And I'm believing that there will be an open door for us to begin to live stream our services into the prison system of the state of Kansas. Where every Sunday morning I look into that camera and I say, and I want to also welcome the men and women in the Kansas penitentiary system. You are part of this family. You are loved. You are valued. There's a hope and there's a future for you in Christ Jesus. Now come on, open your Bibles to whatever we're studying that day. I'm just believing for it. We can't manufacture those kind of things. We can't do those kind of things. But how many of you believe it would be pleasing for God, to God, for us to believe that he would use us to do those kind of things? Embrace Grace, an amazing ministry that you are supporting through Heart for the Kingdom, through your giving and generosity, and through your servanthood, many of you. And it's a ministry to pregnant single moms who are wrestling with the decision. This is unforeseen, unexpected. Can I really have this baby and still pursue my dreams? And we want to come alongside those moms. Be a source of resources, be a source of relationship, and help them to choose life and make a decision that allows them to understand you can. You can choose life, and you can still discover and fulfill the purposes of life. This last semester, in fact, just yesterday, are they showing those pictures? This happened just yesterday. Through your Heart for the Kingdom giving, and many of you also stepping up and adopting a gift on the registry of these four moms, single moms who are pregnant and looking for hope, that we as a church are coming alongside them and saying, you can embrace grace, that God will see you through and see you to the life that he has for you, in spite of something that maybe was unforeseen, unexpected in your life. And so yesterday we had four moms. I think there's been about that in the last few semesters, every semester. But in the next 10 years, I'm believing, I'm asking, I'm hoping that the Lord will give us an opportunity as a church family and through your generosity and servanthood for us to come alongside 100 moms to help them to choose life and allow those babies to experience and fulfill the destiny that they have in God. So thank you for embracing outreach. We don't want to just exist for ourselves. We want to go to KJCC. We want to go to the penitentiary. We want to go to where people are hurting and bring them in and help them to see and experience God. And we want to also embrace discipleship. I pointed to it earlier, but this is where I want to show you a little bit more and encourage you with this, the app. I want to encourage you, download the Rev City app. And there's a lot of things on there, the sermon archives, the sermon notes. You can every week be following along with my notes that I'm preaching from to you. And all the archives, our discipleship track is on there. You could go through that again or revisit a topic maybe that you need to kind of dive, take a deeper dive into. And our commitment is also this, and it's going to require a lot of effort behind the scenes from our team. But we're embracing the opportunity to produce and send into your lives a daily devotional, a daily encouragement from God's word that's from the heart and the spirit and that's associated with the mission and the vision of Rev City Church. It starts tomorrow. I think they have an image right there, a graphic that'll help you see something. I want to encourage you. That content will also be available on the social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook. You can interact with it there. Maybe share it across those platforms if you feel like it would encourage people in your life. But I want to encourage you. We schedule and we prioritize things that are important to us, right? Business meetings, sports practices, our kids' sporting events. Just things that are important to us, we schedule, right? We build our lives around them. And I just want to encourage you to maybe think about that, think that way about daily time with God. To think it's, put it in the category of things that are important enough in your life that you would schedule and prioritize. And so here's what we built into this Rev City app. We built the opportunity for you. If you go to that image right there in the top right on step one, that's your profile. That'll open up step two, which down on the bottom there is notifications, which will open up step three, and I'm going to encourage you to turn on those notifications. I think it would be smart to make sure your general notifications are turned on. That's how we'll remind you about events or maybe weather cancellations or things like that. And then, but down below there is the opportunity for you to select any of those times that you would like a push notification to come to your phone, where in one touch you can access the daily devotional for that day. There'll be a video devotional, some application content, some opportunities to kind of live it out and walk it out and be challenged and encouraged to share it with others. And then there's a worship song that we've embedded in every daily devotional that's kind of chosen selectively based on the theme of that devotional. And I would encourage you to make some time to kind of meditate on what God's spoken to you as you worship God through that worship song. So we're building this app to encourage and connect you guys, and we also believe that this is going to be a connectivity piece for the greater, broader church in Lawrence, Topeka, Kansas City, and all around the world. I think it's going to be exciting one day to open up that daily devotional and see one of our campus pastors from one of our international churches bringing the daily devotional that day. Seeing a lay leader in one of the church campuses that's maybe one of the ones that we don't frequent, but we'll be encouraged by the testimony or the encouragement that that person brings. So it's going to be a connectivity piece for what is a growing online community. And I want to encourage you that we have faith to believe that in the next 5 years, we will see 1,000 people become defined members of the Rev City online community, with 100 of those 1,000 members determined and committed through some training materials and vision that we're putting together for them right now to host an online gathering where they will invite friends and coworkers and neighbors and maybe rural areas or places that are not as well churched by a life-giving, vibrant, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church like hopefully we are and will remain, to just come and to experience in the context of a home or an office, a small gathering where they join us and they worship God and they hear the word and they break bread together, maybe share a meal, have brunch together, and then they close that time with prayer and discussion with and for one another. Over the next 5 years, beyond those online church members, we're believing that the Lord would establish the first international campus of Rev City. I don't know if it'll be Kenya or India or somewhere in between, but we're believing that God will either cause us to raise up one of you and release you and relate to you as you go to help us establish that international church, or that God will identify and bring to us a relationship, someone that's already boots on the ground in their nation looking for a church to relate to and be resourced by and encouraged by. Over the next 20 years, we're believing that God will minimally grace us to see 3 international church sites and minimally 12 local church campuses somewhere all throughout the United States of America. So that's big vision, but how many know we ought to have a big vision? We serve a big God. In the next year, just quickly, we're about to close, just quickly, in the next year, we're working behind the scenes right now, just ongoing ways. They're building out the technology that's necessary for us to do our first live worship recording. Some of you may not even know, a few of the songs that we've been singing on the regular in Sunday morning worship services were actually written by our very own Rev City worship team. They're great songs, and I believe it's just the beginning of what God desires to do in us and through us. Next year, I'm also launching, I felt the Lord just call me to begin to document and put together a playbook, a game plan, an outline for fathers and sons and mothers and daughters to experience a year of discipleship together. And I believe every dad wants to have conversations about the Lord, conversations about faith. Every mom wants to mentor her daughters in the faith and help them experience and build a relationship with God, but we just don't know where to start. And we feel inadequate or ill-prepared to really do it, right? And so what we're doing, what the Lord's called us to do, is to put something together that we can put in the hands of dads that can come along their teenage sons, put in the hands of moms who can come alongside their teenage daughters and walk through, be guided through a series of Bible study and challenges and calls to go and do things, serve together, build together, relate to one another, begin to have focused, intentional times of having conversations about what do we really believe and what will we stand for as a family and what are we going to have as the values of our family. It's a big vision, but we serve a big God. And why not us? Why not us? Why not you and me to see God do some great and mighty things? Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8 says, As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. It says, as you go. And I want to encourage you that there's some places that God wants to begin to highlight, that he wants to call you and use you, your testimony, your passion. At the intersection of maybe your job or your influence in the community, he wants to introduce the message of the kingdom, righteousness with God, peace and joy. And that through Heart for the Kingdom, one of the ideas is that we want to empower and we want to promote, we want to set up examples of church members, lay leaders, stepping out and initiating ministries in the community. Maybe there's a grace, maybe there's a vision, maybe there's an insight that God's going to give you to help solve the homeless crisis, or to come alongside single moms, or to come alongside widows or orphans or foster kids. And there's a ministry that God wants to stir in you. And through the next 5 years, we're believing that 20 new ministries will be established by you, by God, but through you, resourced by Heart for the Kingdom. Over the next 10 years, remember it says, as you go, over the next 10 years, we're believing to send 1,000 people on short-term missions trips across the globe. Freely you have given, freely you have received, freely give. The advancement of the kingdom right from the start is associated with us being willing to give. We got to be willing to live differently, to serve, to give, and to go. Would you stand to your feet? And I hope this has been an encouragement to you, a blessing to you. I hope this is exciting to you. I hope you want to be a part of a church that wants to build the kingdom. And I hope you want to be a part of a church that is content. I'm content. If God didn't show up and do another thing in my life, I'd have nothing but gratitude for what he's done in my life. And I'd have nothing but gratitude for the spiritual family he's already connected. So I'm content, but I'm not complacent. There's a difference. I'm humble about just recognizing how much this is going to require God to show up, but I'm hungry for more of God. And I'm reminded that this church began in the Jesus movement of the early 70s. And our first full-time pastor, Nick Willems, in his book about the history of the mustard seed, there's a vibrant history to this church that you're a part of. And I believe it's just the beginning. I believe it was intentionally called a seed early on, because if you go read that parable, the seed becomes a tree, and it's a great tree. And so I'm reminded that Nick Willems said this. He said, for a movement to avoid becoming a monument requires fresh winds of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God's got to show up. God's got to show up. For these things and everything else that's in between that I didn't have time to share with you today, God's got to show up. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. God's got to show up. So let's stay humble, but let's stay hungry. Let's be content, but let's not become complacent. And let's be a people who are intentional about seeing God move in us and through us to build and advance his kingdom. Amen. Would you just ask the Lord, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What are you speaking to me? What are you doing in me? What are you challenging me to believe for? Maybe you need to see yourself differently. Maybe you need to realize that there's a call to greatness upon your life. Maybe you need to realize that maybe your dream has been too small. Maybe it needs to scare you a little. Maybe it has been too little. And today, God's just coming and calling you to think bigger, to think beyond, and to be willing to become a part of what God desires to do in your life and through our church family. Now, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity. This is not an obligation, it's an invitation. We don't have to do these things, we get to do these things. And it's the only thing that we'll ever pour our resources or our time into that will stand the test of time. And so, Lord, we just thank you. Help us to be faithful and generous and strategic. And right there, while you're still just listening to what the Holy Spirit is speaking in you about your part in this vision, I want to give people the opportunity to say yes to receiving the free gift of salvation. Of the thousands that we're believing to come to faith in Christ, that's going to be accomplished one soul, one life at a time. Maybe today you're the one. You're the one. And Jesus leaves the 99 to go after the one. Maybe today, in the midst of a crowd of people and a big vision, today, you're the one. And God's knocking. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And the question today is, will you open? Will you open the door? Will you let him into your heart today? To receive the free gift of salvation, he comes right into this moment in your life. We don't get good to get God. He comes into our life when we're broken, when we're hurting, when we're wounded, when we're far from him. That's when we encounter the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so if that's you, you're here today and you need a new life, a fresh start. You're weighed down by sin and shame and condemnation. Or maybe you're here and you've drifted from God. Become preoccupied maybe with the cares and the things of this world. You once knew him, loved him, maybe even served him. And if that's you, you're what the Bible, you're what Jesus spoke about. You're who Jesus spoke about when he talked about the prodigal son, the wayward one. And here's the good news. If that's you today, the posture of the Father towards you today is the very same as it was in that parable. arms wide open, eagerly longing for, looking for, and expecting this moment where you would just take one step back towards God. And so here's what I want to ask you to do. If that's you, you're in either one of those camps today. You need to put your faith in Christ for the first time, or you need to come back and rededicate your life to Him. Here's the step I want to ask you to take right now, without delay, right now. You know who you are right now. Don't wait. Lift your hand high towards God. You're not responding to a person or a preacher. You're responding to your Heavenly Father. And this is just a first step, an outward sign of an inward work that He's doing in your life. Right now, just lift these hands high towards heaven. Lord, thank you for these precious people who are coming home to you, who are coming to faith in you, who are being born again, who are seeing all the old things washed away. The Bible says all the old things pass away. You're becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new life, a fresh start. It's what you're receiving right now. If you raised your hand, you can lower it. You can lower it. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray this prayer with you. We want you to hear the sound of a church family coming alongside you right from the start, all right? And the second reason we pray it all together is it always reminds us every week we never graduate from grace, right? Everything God's building, all built on grace. So let's pray this prayer. Come on, pray it boldly today, especially in light of these precious people who are the ones who God was chasing after today and welcoming back home into His kingdom family. Come on, pray this boldly. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. I give you my life. I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, come on, say this loudly. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. And come on, would you rejoice with all of heaven?